Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
All right. It is great to be joined by you here on a Super Tuesday episode of Offsides with Mark Ryan and Tim here on ESPN Upstate. Wonderful to be here with you guys as we roll on today's show. You know, it's been a lot of fun doing these SEC team previews. The ACC will be next. We made our way through the SEC East last week. Now over to the SEC West. We've done Ole Miss, change their state flag, Mississippi State, Mike Leach, and then Jimbo Fisher feeling a little bit of pressure entering year three at the helm there. But today is the tip of the cap to the one and only dominant force throughout college football the last 10 years. Clemson, a close second in the last 10 years, and I think in the last five, Clemson has taken the mantle as the best overall program in college football. But the Alabama Crimson Tide, you know, are they over the hill a little bit? Is Nick Saban over the hill a little bit? You know, if you study coaching success and coaching behavior, you notice that throughout most sports, performance begins to dip post year 65. Nick Saban is 68, right? So how many years does he have left? Have we seen the best of Nick Saban? Have we seen the best of his Alabama Crimson Tide? Joining us right now to discuss Alabama in the year 2020 and a preview is my friend Brent Beard. He is a Heisman Trophy voter with First Coast News out of Jacksonville, Florida, and he's been covering the Alabama Crimson Tide, and I don't want to guess how many years because I would offend him, but I'm going to say approaching 40 years covering the Alabama Crimson Tide. Brent Beard joins us right now. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing well. Good to be with you. The last time I was on, you had a birthday, so I will try to cause less trouble than I did on that day. But the reality is, let me put it this way. I've been going to media days since the early 90s. I missed one since the early 90s, and unfortunately this year will be two. But that will have an asterisk next to it, Mark. So I have been covering them since that time, and I can assure you, no let up right now in Tuscaloosa.
No let up indeed. All right. So, look, they lose a lot, Brent. They lose a lot. You know, you lose Tua Tagovailoa. Mac Jones steps in. What are we getting in this signal caller? I mean, Alabama fans just expect the next guy to step in, and they expect there to be no drop off. And I don't know how that could possibly be the case losing Tua.
Well, no one's as good as Tua. The thing, though, that with Mac Jones, he did get some vital experience last year, had a great game against Arkansas, was really up and down in the Auburn game, made some great plays, and then struggled, obviously, with the two pick sixes, the one at the goal line, really more on the fault of not being able to pick up the Auburn blitz than anything else. But he played real well, didn't he, Mark, against Michigan in the bowl game. So he is, and listen, I've been covering Mac Jones for quite a while. You having lived in Florida, appreciate the bowl school. And when Corky Rogers was there, Mark, the winningest coach in a high school coach in state of Florida history with the state championships. He played for Corky, so he knows what that is like. Now you combine that with what Alabama beat writers have told us is the best Bama offensive line since 2012, along with skill position players such as Najee Harris, who may be a very well a Heisman Trophy candidate. Miller Forsall comes back, and obviously you've got Devonta Smith, Jalen Waddle, who is in a class by himself, frankly. So between the trust, I believe, that Nick Saban has for Mac Jones and what he's proven to be able to do. And I talked to a couple of NFL scouts who told me, this may surprise you, Mark, but who told me that if Mac Jones wants to come out at the end of the season and skip his senior season, they said without a doubt in their mind, he would get an invite to the combines.
Really?
Yes.
Wow. Wow. That's incredible. That's incredible. So, you know, I want to see what he's capable of. Brent, I've got to be honest with you. You know, there is a clear favorite in every Power 5 conference right now. If you look at every Power 5 conference outside looking in, I think Clemson and Oregon are the two heaviest favorites, perhaps followed by Ohio State and then Oklahoma and then Alabama. But every favorite in a Power 5 conference is a prohibitive favorite right now. I'm telling you, Brent, I don't buy that in the SEC. I don't buy it. I think that Florida, I think that Georgia's right there. I think LSU takes a step back, but I think Auburn could take a step up. I'm not one of these people that looks at the SEC this year and thinks Alabama's head and shoulders above the rest of the conference. Am I wrong?
No. Well, the three best teams in the league are, and this is going to sound strange, but that's the way it is this year, are Alabama, Georgia, and Florida. How about that? It's because of the roster of all three of the teams. Now, again, as you mentioned, it's not like LSU doesn't have any players because they do, but you cannot lose what they did on and off the field, including Joe Brady, and repeat. I'm sorry, that's just not going to happen for Tiger fans. The problem with Auburn is I think Bo Nix is very good at quarterback. The problem is they, and Auburn beat writers would tell you this, they have done a really poor job recruiting offensive linemen. And this year's offensive line is not going to be much better than last year. And they've got a really inexperienced secondary. And, Mark, I can tell you this, and you can appreciate this being where you live right now, that one of the teams is going to give Auburn all kinds of trouble, and nobody is talking about this, is early with North Carolina. Sam Howell, it could have a field day with that Auburn secondary. So keep that in mind. But to back up what you're saying, again, no, it's not just Alabama. It's Georgia and Florida and Alabama. I think the three best teams in the league.
And I think any one of them could win it, Brent. I mean, I do. I don't think this conference is Alabama and everybody else. If I'm listing Alabama as a favorite in the SEC, and I'm listing odds to win the SEC outright, I might say Alabama 40%, Georgia 35%, and Florida 30%. I might say, well, that doesn't add up, Brent. That's more than 100%. I need to work on my math here just a little bit. Maybe 35, 30, and 25, and then the rest of the percentage for everybody else. But I think my point is, I think it's really close. And look, Brent, I keep hearing about all this skill position talent. Are we supposed to believe that they're not going to feel the loss of Jerry Jeudy and Henry Ruggs III?
Of course they will. There's no question, but Devonta Smith, Jalen Waddle, or two of the best in the league, and a guy that people don't know about is John Metchie, who is a sophomore this year, but they're going to be very impressed what he's been able to do. Slade Bolden is another guy who's a sophomore. They have a lot of young talent that they think really will be advance this year, and frankly, one of the better receivers they have got is Harris in the backfield. And by the way, they may be more balanced this year with running the ball than they were with Tua. And I can tell you that this is one of the best sets of running backs that they've had in quite a while. And again, another Florida kid, this time Trey Sanders, who if people think if he'd have started last year, had a knee injury before the year started, missed the season, that he may have gained 1,000 yards. He's that good, Port St. Joe. And again, the way they've recruited, you mentioned Jerry Jeudy a few minutes ago from the state of Florida. What they've done there has been amazing. So offensively, again, you may not have as good a quarterback, but you may have a situation where the offensive line being better, running backs being more solid, it all may end up, it may not be the rattlesnake that you're used to under Tua, but right. They may be back to that boa constrictor where they choke the life out of teams, and by the end of the fourth quarter, they're able to run you over.
Let's talk about Nick Saban for a minute here, Brent. Do you believe that we have seen and we are finished seeing the very best of Nick Saban?
No, not necessarily at all.
Okay.
Saban, and here's why. Saban, and by the way, Mark, when I'm 68 and you're about 25 to 30 years from there, that my stomach is as flat as his is.
Yeah.
But listen, he gets, Mark, I seriously think he gets more energy from recruiting and from the process of building a team than he actually does from winning games. Now look, is he going to coach another 10, 15 years? No, I don't think so. But he's still got several more years in him, which could be another national championship or two. Case in point, that where he is always on the cutting edge is the, as we know, Scott Cochran, who had a big hand in building that program, strength and conditioning coach, is at Georgia. He has hired Blue and Ray, a couple of guys from the Big Ten, who are cutting edge and injury prevention, and you know how badly they've been hurt, i.e. Dylan Moses, who is back this year.
Correct.
Who didn't play hardly the whole last year, and that they're building a new science medical building to go with that. The players love this new approach. That's what makes him, as long as he's coaching, he's always a threat, because whether it's technology or medicine or whatever it is, he's not afraid to spend the money, and they've got it on anything cutting edge to make his team better.
Can you speak, Brent, to some of Nick Saban's quirks? Like what quirks about him do you find most interesting and unique? I was reading something where he has the same thing for lunch every single day. He has like a salad that has like cranberries on it or something, and he has that for lunch every single day. And he's got an incredible office, and everything he does is very systematic, and he's got this routine, and he sticks to the routine, and it's been very effective to him. But, you know, as you have studied him over the years, what are some weird quirks about this man?
Well, I mean, in his office, he actually has a button on his desk to where it opens and closes the door. So the way he looks at that is he's timed it out, and there's a certain amount of time it takes to get up, to open the door, and then to close it and go back to his desk.
Why can't he open the door?
What he's looking at is this is saving him precious seconds that he could be doing for something else at that time. Eats Little Debbie's for breakfast, cuddles with Miss Terry, watches the Weather Channel before going to the office every day. And he very much is a creature of habit. I mean, he can tell, look, you and I probably don't know what we're going to be doing today at 5:12. He can tell you what he is doing because it's been mapped out. And I'm really not being very facetious of this at all. At this time next year, much less this time next week. So incredibly organized. I think he's a lot more shy and reserved than people realize. And anybody who is an introvert can understand that. But it has an incredible ability, and unfortunately we don't see this all the time in the media, but he is able to sit down with parents and recruits and get on the level with them, unlike a few coaches around. So, and look, he likes to have fun. He likes to go to this lake house. He's got this little motorized go-kart, for lack of a better word, that it gets a lot of publicity around his house when they have recruits there. And I think he had his little granddaughter on it a little bit ago, but he's a grandfather now, so he's enjoying that. So, and I think as he's won, he's actually relaxed a little bit, but I can tell you this, when it comes to recruiting and so forth, in game preparation, he has not lost a step.
Brent Beard joining us. Saban has a button that he presses on his desk that opens his door. I would just love to teach a dog to get me a beer out of the fridge, Brent. Can we make that happen? If he can do that in 6 seconds, it takes the door 6 seconds to open, maybe I can do the same. Brent, look, I'm looking at the schedule here.
Yes.
The non-conference is a bit laughable to me, and I don't understand why that was the strategy. USC, okay. I mean, it has name cachet, but how good are they? Not really a top 25 team. Then Georgia State, Kent State, and is this Tennessee Martin on the schedule?
Yeah.
Like, what's the defense for that?
Well, I mean, there is none, but to their credit, they're always going to play at least one good non-conference team a year. Now, Southern Cal in the preseason magazines is a top 20, if not top 15 team.
Yeah, now, well, come on. Every year, Brent.
Slovis is a tremendous quarterback, and they've got great skill position players. Now, again, they will win that game. I mean, look, Mark, let's be honest. The game they're looking at is Georgia on September the 19th. That's going to mean everything for them. And I can tell you Gator fans are a little bit interested in that game, too.
Absolutely.
Now, keep this in mind. I don't know if I buy this. I'm curious if you do too. But and that they end the season at home with A&M and Auburn, and that's not going to be easy either. So, but there are a lot of people, Mark, when you look at A&M's schedule, they think A&M will be undefeated coming to Tuscaloosa. And again, I don't know if I buy that necessarily, but that's going to be a big challenge. And they have had no trouble beating A&M as of late. But I'll say this, and to your point about who wins the SEC, now think about this a minute. They would end the season A&M, Auburn, and then Georgia or Florida. That's a pretty good trio to end the season, is it not?
Absolutely. Absolutely it is. So that's really interesting. Brett, as we wrap up with you today, can we get three players to watch for this coming season for the Crimson Tide?
I would say you've got to watch for Dylan Moses returning. Will he be as effective as he was? And I'll give you a couple of guys who I know we mentioned one before. It's Trey Sanders, who is a running back from Port St. Joe that a lot of people said that would have snorted. Another guy is a true freshman by the name of Tim Smith. He's 6'4", 320. And as you know, that came down basically to Florida and Alabama. And he went to Alabama. And if you watch the film on Tim Smith on Google or YouTube, he just basically, it's almost like a whale that opens his mouth and engulfs running backs and quarterbacks. The thing that's going to make a difference for them They were, would you agree, Mark? They were very un-Bama-like last year defensively.
Yes.
And this is a proven year for Pete Golding, but their defensive line is going to be much better. And watch for Christian Barmore, DJ Dale. We mentioned Dylan Moses. Joshua McMillan came back. I think he's got like an electrical engineering degree, which I believe in college is what you majored in too. And then
exactly.
In this year, he's going to have to rebuild a little bit, but they've still got Patrick Surtain and some of these guys. And maybe the most amazing thing I'm going to share of all is they may actually have a healthy field goal kicker, because their kicker from last year who got hurt early on, Will Reichard, sent out a video on Twitter a few days ago that he actually kicked a 60-yard field goal, which Alabama fans, now when Bama lines up for an extra point or field goal, they are praying fervently or sending up Hail Marys just that it will go through or at least come close. So an improved kicking game. I mean, just imagine how good this team would be, Mark, if they could hit a field goal.
Completely. Completely. Brent Beard covers the Alabama Crimson Tide. You can see him on First Coast News in Florida, and he's a Heisman Trophy voter. Brent, always appreciate you, pal. Please stay healthy and safe, all right?
You too, my brother. Always good to talk to you. Take care.
All right. Brent Beard with our Alabama Crimson Tide preview for today. Coming up next, another special guest. Sam Zeitz is the CEO of Gruber. And he's going to tell us what the protocols are going to look like for the return of sports. An interesting announcement from the Kentucky Derby recently saying that it will be held with fans in September. How is that going to work? He'll explain all the above to us next here on Offsides, ESPN Upstate.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's Offsides. Mark, Ryan, and Tim here today on ESPN Upstate. So it's interesting. The Kentucky Derby announced they're going to run their event, and it's going to take place with fans, right? And what should fans expect in terms of protocols that will be put into place moving forward? What precedent does this set for other sports? What will decision makers be thinking from different leagues about reopening? How are arenas and event spaces reopening safely? And what can fans expect to look different? Basically, what is the lay of the land of sports here moving forward? Joining us to discuss all the above is Sam Zeitz. He is the CEO of the financial technology company Gruber, and he joins us right now. Sam works with arenas, amusement parks, restaurants, and retailers nationwide, and is involved in their conversations about reopening and the changes they will make when opening. And he joins us right now. Sam, good afternoon, man. Thanks for making the time. What's going on?
Hey, Mark. Nice to speak with you. Everything's changing, but you know, it's not changing by the month. It's changing by the minute. We're dealing with a lot of the football stadiums, both college and pros, and they're hoping to have, you know, people in the seats, you know, coming this season. But I just got off the phone, you know, about an hour ago with one team, and, you know, where their hope was trying to get closer to the 50% capacity, now they're looking on the lower end of that spectrum of, you know, maybe 10 to 20%. Traditionally, most of them we have been between the 10 to 40% range, but they're planning because everything's so fluid. Every state's different. The governments and the governors in each state are dictating a lot of this policy. But regardless of what happens, you're going to see significant changes when you go out to the arena. I mean, you're not going to see a place packed. You're going to see people sitting together, but then spacing between them and you know, other groups that aren't necessarily associated with that group.
To what degree, I mean, are you safer in an open-air stadium? It would seem like you'd be much safer in an open-air stadium than you would be in an indoor basketball arena, even if you have more people in the outdoor open-air football stadium. Is that not accurate?
Absolutely. Anytime you're outside, you're in a much, you know, the likelihood of, you know, catching something drops dramatically. However, the concern you do have is with people are cheering, screaming, singing, you know, those are speaking loudly. Those are ways that increases the likelihood and the dispersion of the possibility of somebody catching, you know, COVID. So that's the one negative to it, is because generally, you know, if you're at a ballpark, you're probably screaming one way or the other.
Sam Zeitz joins us right now on the show. If you have a question for Sam, text it into us at 71307. Just put ESPN as the first word in your text. Sam handles everything in terms of how the opening up is going to take place, what protocols are going to be in place. So you're hearing, Sam, that 10 to 20% capacity. Look, I think they want to figure out ways to get some fans in. This has been a shock to the system for all of us. You know, I think many of us at this point are just worried that we're even going to have a college football season. Your compass on that right now, Sam, is it pointing in the yes direction?
It is, but not as far to the yes as I would have said a week ago.
Yeah.
As a huge football fan myself, I can't imagine a year without college football. I sit on the Orange Bowl committee down in South Florida, so very, very passionate on that side. And, you know, we're supposed to have the national championship game down here, so it would obviously be highly detrimental to our community to not be able to have, you know, college football season.
Yeah, that certainly would be the case. I have challenged my audience, Sam, to follow the guidelines, right? Because we've seen a catastrophic boom in cases in our area here in South Carolina. We've also seen that in Florida. Why do you think, Sam Zeitz, CEO of Gruber Financial Technology Company, he works with arenas, amusement parks, as you heard him say, he's on the Orange Bowl committee. Why have, you know, I was looking at something the other day, right? Japan has had 926 deaths from COVID. They have 126 million people. They have 38% of our population. If we were doing the job that Japan is doing, we would have 2,600 deaths. What are we at now, 130,000 deaths? Like, why have we failed so miserably at containing this thing?
Well, there are basic things that can be done to dramatically mitigate. Can you eliminate it 100%? No. But can you mitigate it? Absolutely. So a lot of the things we're talking to stadiums and arenas about is, first, there's thermal temperature kiosks. You can take somebody's temperature in under 2 seconds. So if you have people who have temperatures, you don't allow them into the arena to infect all the other people. So by taking that one step, you've dramatically minimized the likelihood of something spreading. The other thing you have to concern yourself is where are people congregating? People congregate when they enter the arena. They congregate around concession stands during breaks, such as halftime. So, you know, the technology that we facilitate is self-ordering technology, meaning utilize kiosks like you would see at McDonald's. Utilize, mobile ordering. That type of technology eliminates the line, so you don't have the people 25 deep trying to order food and then picking it up. Other technology that we've implemented are food lockers, so that when your food is ready, you go over to the food locker and you scan your phone and boom, the door opens and you grab your food. It texts you when your food's ready, so this way you're not standing around the counter waiting. It's safer for the employees, safer for the fans.
You know, that's really interesting, and I know you one of the bullet points here is how sports leagues can follow the lead of restaurants in designing and reopening plans. What have you seen from the restaurant industry that gives you hope for sports?
Well, take a perfect example. The restaurants that have opened, they're spacing out. So, you know, most states like Florida, you're at a maximum of 50% capacity on an indoor restaurant. So you have every table is at least 6 feet away from the other tables. You have the employees all wearing masks, wearing gloves. You need to first let your fans know the steps that you're taking to make them safe. Letting them know you're going to be taking the temperature before they enter your facility. Letting them know that you're taking overt acts of cleanliness. So going through those common areas and redeploying employees to over-clean them and over-clean the restrooms so that people feel, you know, confident that when they're in there, there's a very low likelihood of them catching anything.
Yeah, it's really interesting how this whole thing is going to work. What do you make of the NBA bubble in Orlando? Good idea, bad idea, Sam?
I think it's a great idea for them. I mean, first off, they were nearing the end of the season, so this allows them to finish it off and have a playoffs. You by putting everyone in a bubble, you've eliminated the likelihood of the players contracting anything and having that materially affect the game. So who have they put in the bubble? They've put the players, they've put the support staff, they've put the media, they've put the referees. So by having everyone there, you've got it self-contained. I think, you know, they have a strong likelihood of pulling this off. Disney is a, you know, a unique facility that could handle all of that.
You know, it really is. I've described the wide world of sports as somebody who grew up near that area, Sam, as, you know, like a city in and of itself. And they're essentially shutting down the city around the NBA there. It's not the same thing as Disney World. It's kind of detached from Disney World a little bit. So I think that can actually work pretty well. You know, the surprising announcement from the Kentucky Derby, I really appreciate the optimism of the Kentucky Derby staff. We're going to go on, and we're going to have fans in attendance. And I don't know how in June you can say that about an event going on in September, but they've come out and said it. Is there validity to their optimism?
Having fans, yes. Having 100% fans, yeah, I think that's wishful thinking. Yeah. I don't see how you're going to be able to fill that facility up. Can you? Sure, you can, but I don't necessarily think that's the right decision. I think having fans, if you're doing it in a prudent manner, makes a lot of sense. But, you know, 100% capacity, I have not spoken to a single venue that's even thinking of trying to do that.
You know, it's interesting to me, Sam. I think all of us have a hard time wrapping our head around the numbers, right? Here in our area, Clemson had 37 players test positive for COVID on a roster of 120. It's mind-boggling. They had a peaceful protest after the tragic death of George Floyd, and then there's a bunch of positive tests thereafter. If you have an 80,000 capacity seat stadium, can you put into numbers what the risk is in terms of the disease if you had a capacity crowd for, let's say, Clemson against North Carolina? What are the risks there in terms of numbers?
Well, a couple ways to answer that.
Sure.
You know, if you're putting all the precautions in place, you know, you're going to decrease that significantly. So if you've eliminated anyone with a temperature from entering the facility, and you've properly socially distanced everyone so that groups are not sitting within 6 feet of another group. So if I go with my family, we can all sit together, but you know, your family is 6 feet away from us. If all the employees are wearing masks and gloves and they're cleaning everything, then I would put the likelihood of myself or you kept contracting it as very low. And I think I could sell my wife on letting me take my kids to the game.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you're going to pack the stadium and you're not going to take the actions we discussed, then I would say it's very high. I mean, you know, if you look back in 1918, you know, in Philly, there was a major parade. And a lot of people say that was the one of the, you know, central points of where the disease spread back then.
Yeah, yeah, that's something. A texter wants me to ask you the following here, Sam. Mark, ask him if the death numbers are inflated. My doctor told me our death numbers are vastly higher than real deaths due to COVID. The reason being, if you die from a heart attack, the hospital gets much less money if they report the death as being from COVID. You know, it's interesting. That's one viewpoint. I've actually seen an opposite viewpoint, Sam, that has, like, you know, deaths from pneumonia in the state of Florida are four times higher than they normally are. And they're being classified as deaths from pneumonia. They're not being classified as deaths from COVID. And we're supposed to suddenly believe that we have four times the death of pneumonia this year, just randomly, coincidentally. So how would you answer that listener question?
I'll take a different spin on it. First, I don't work at the CDC, so
sure.
I'm not an expert when it comes to that. The numbers that I focus on, and the things that the numbers that I think are more important, are our hospitalization rate and, uh-huh, and the death rates. And now we can have the argument you just raised on under or over reporting the death rate. But I think those two numbers hold more merit for me than the number of people that are testing positive, because testing positive means you're doing a good job of testing people, first off. So if we
right.
test more people, you're going to have that. So in the U.S., our death rate is significantly lower than Europe. Now, is that because we have medical care? No, we're testing more than they are. So only the very sick are going in there and being tested, and obviously the likelihood of them dying is significantly higher. So the fact that we've now, from a logistics perspective, you know, put out the testing to all the states and everybody can pretty readily get tested. I went and got tested myself yesterday, and within, you know, an hour I had my results and I was negative. So
you within an hour you had results. I know somebody that 5 days later is still waiting. How uncomfortable was the test, Sam?
I went for it. It's just, you know, a little prick on, you know, I did it with the prick on the finger. So they have two types of tests. They have a rapid
okay.
test, which is okay. a blood test.
Gotcha.
And then they have the nasal swab, which is the one that can take anywhere from a day to 3 days to get the results.
Gotcha. Wow, really, really interesting stuff coming your way today on the world of sports and how they might return from Sam Zeitz. He is the CEO of the financial technology company, Gruber, and he is on the Orange Bowl board. Sam, great to meet you, man. Thank you so much for making the time. My team, the Florida Gators, an alum, played in your wonderful bowl this last season. It was a really, really great experience. So thank you so much for all you do, and we look forward to hopefully speaking to you again soon.
All right, sounds good. Thank you.
Thank you. Sam Zeitz, CEO of Gruber, joining us here on Offsides, ESPN Upstate, on the return of sports. Did you learn anything in that interview that you didn't previously know? Some interesting points, some interesting takeaways indeed, here on Offsides, ESPN Upstate. Man, this is one of the coolest things that I've seen. So the Oakland A's, this is incredible, man. Tim, this is awesome. This would be, I would rather pay for this than I would pay to go to a game, all right? The Oakland A's are doing something incredibly unique. You've seen how the Korean League has, like, stuffed animals. They have SpongeBob behind home plate.
Oh, yeah, I've seen those.
The Oakland A's are doing a promotion right now where – fan, this is awesome. For $89, fans can have a cardboard cutout of themselves placed into a seat at the Coliseum where the Oakland A's play, right? $89, your cutouts will be placed in a seat. And if a ball, foul ball, home run ball, etc., if a ball if you want to pay $129, you get any ball that hits your cutout. Okay, so if your cutout sustains damage, they'll replace it. For $129, any home run ball or foul ball that hits your cutout is yours. Okay, or if you just want to see your cutout on TV in the seats that you always sit in, they'll put your cutout in your seats for the entire season, 60 games, all right? You have a cutout of you in the stands at Oakland. There have been a lot of ideas, Tim, in terms of what we're going to do, fake crowd noise and so on and so forth. I'm here to tell you, this is the best idea that I've seen. I think this is fantastic. I'm looking at a whole row of cutouts in stands right now. They look like real people to me, and I get the ball if somebody hits my cutout. You know, this is the kind of thing, Tim, that would get me to watch more games. I would have my cutout, I would know where my cutout is, and then I'd be watching, come on, hit me. I want the foul ball, hit me. Dude, that's kind of the game within the game type stuff.
Yeah,
I love it.
Yeah, I kind of like that. Now, I wasn't too fond of it at first. I was like, cardboard cutout, that seemed kind of lame. But then when you told me about that, if the ball hits your cardboard cutout, a home run or foul ball, you get to keep it and everything. I was like, oh, that's actually really cool. That's something that's out of the box that you don't hear of. And yeah, it kind of gives people incentive to watch, you know?
Well, and if you're a fan, your presence, your likeness is still felt at games, even though you can't be there physically.
Right.
And, you know, you can see yourself on TV potentially. And you get a chance to get foul balls. The coolest idea I've ever seen, man. You're listening to Offsides. Mark Ryan and Tim today here on ESPN Upstate. It's Offsides. Mark Ryan and Tim right here on ESPN Upstate, rolling on a Super Tuesday edition of the show. Fantastic to be here with you guys. All right, so what will the first thing Cam Newton says be to Jarrett Stidham both played at Auburn, right? Jarrett Stidham, the would-be starter for the New England Patriots. Now they bring Cam Newton into the fold. What will he say? What will they say? And so this person who put this on Twitter said, I want the wrong answers only. So Cam Newton will say, hello, number two, Anchorman style. Let's see here. Somebody else said, can you show me how to throw a football? Ouch. You did better than me at Auburn is something Cam Newton will not say to Jarrett Stidham. I hope you start and I'm the backup are things that Cam Newton will not say to Jarrett Stidham. Roll Tide is something Cam will not say to Jarrett Stidham. By the end of the season, no one will remember me or Tom is what Cam Newton will not say to Jarrett Stidham. And is Gus better than Chizik? Things, heard you need a laptop. Cam Newton stole a laptop from the University of Florida. Things Cam Newton will not say to Jarrett Stidham moving forward to next season. You know, there's always a really weird relationship between starter and backup in the NFL. You experience the same thing when you work at a radio station because you have people on your bench that want your job. And I've been on the bench, and I've wanted the jobs of the starters, and I've been on the starters, and I've been very aware that the guys on the bench want your job as the starter, right? It's something that is patently obvious to everybody. So how close can you really be to somebody that wants to take you out of your job? How close can you really be to all that? 1-844-477-3776, 1-844-GSP-ESPN is the number. My prediction on that situation is that Cam wins the job. I think Cam wins the job. I think he is going to be a healthy enough version of himself to where he can command that job, to where he can lead the New England Patriots next season. And I believe the New England Patriots are going to be two games better next year than they would have been otherwise. I think they go from 6-10 to 8-8, and they're competitive, and they're interesting. And Cam Newton has a resurgence of sorts. Very, very interesting stuff indeed. All right, it is time for the top five at five. The top five biggest sports stories of the day, the top five topics we're discussing, the top five at five is coming away next. Right here on Offsides, we are ESPN Upstate.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.